Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Coming up next on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast, Eskimos All-Stars and a moving day take place on this football day. Because in this episode of Football History Headlines, we discuss the entry in the NFL for the franchises from Duluth and St. Louis, as well as the league splitting into two divisions and celebrating many more birthdays of Hall of Famers and more coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. We are so glad once again you could join us for these great moments of football history that took place on the day of July 28th. That's our day that of du jour today that we are going to really focus in on and give you all the events and people that were born on this day pertinent to the game of football, and we hope we get them all. But if we miss any, and we may, and we know that you, our listeners, are sharp enough to catch it. And we also would like your feedback. Either one of those, you can send to pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we will be sure to follow up with that and get things right. We want to make sure this is the most accurate historic view of the day of July 28th in gridiron history that we can make it. And we really need your help, and we really appreciate those of you that have helped us in the past, making this just a full day of very entertaining information to ponder and talk about at the water cooler. So let's get right at it. Our July 28th 1923 headline has the Duluth Kellys / Eskimos franchise forming and playing in the league from 1923 to 1927 when they were sold and moved to Orange, New Jersey. Now, we talked about this yesterday in our July 27th entries, so if you want to see what happened with the Eskimos after in their aftermath and what they turned into, you can go and look at that those Orange Tornadoes and New Jersey Tornadoes. Well, let's get back, because they were originally called the Kelly Duluth, named after the Kelly Duluth Hardware Store, as the team that was put together with the help of the store's owner, M.C. Gebert. You know, 3 years later, they changed their name to the Duluth Eskimos. The teams played very few home games, due mainly to the fact that the harsh early winters that settle in the upper Minnesota area. As a result of the fact, the team played only one home game over their final two seasons. The Duluth franchise was one of the first ever NFL teams to use a logo. And as we talked about briefly in yesterday's July 27th history headlines, the Eskimos' mostly road schedule eventually caught up to them financially, and their rights and roster were given to the Orange Tornadoes franchise in 1929 by the league. July 28, 1923, the St. Louis All-Stars franchise is recognized by the NFL and plays just in the 1923 season in the league. The idea of the team came from their outstanding starting guard, Ollie Cray, who owned, managed, and operated the club. Ollie had played for the Rock Island Independents a year earlier, and his thought was that since small towns like Rock Island and Green Bay could make a buck off of pro teams, imagine what large cities like St. Louis could do. He bought into the NFL for $100 and found that getting true all-stars to play for his squad, well, that was kind of difficult. Many players either lied that they were all-stars from the East or gave alias names so that their parents wouldn't know that they were playing. Fortunately for Cray, his fans did not support the team, and in September of 1924, the NFL canceled the All-Stars franchise and the rest of their games that season. July 28, 1929, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the NFL announced that they would be adding a fourth official to the field during scheduled and regular season games, and I believe that ended up being the line judge. You already had a referee, an umpire, head linesman. I think it was the line judge that was the fourth official. July 28, 1933, the NFL divided into two divisions for the first time per a Yahoo.com website story. Prior to that, the team with the best overall record would be declared as the league champions. This caused issues that got sticky on more than one occasion. As a matter of fact, the year prior, though in 1932, the Chicago Bears and the Portsmouth Spartans were neck and neck in the standings, each finished the regular seasons with identical .857 winning percentages. George Halas wanted no part of a shared title, so he challenged the Spartans to a final game in Chicago that would settle a score. The winner would be the champs, and the loser would fall behind third place, right behind Green Bay. The game was moved indoors to a modified field size, and the Bears won, of course, in a controversial fashion over Portsmouth, who was missing their star player and quarterback, Dutch Clark. The Bears won 9-0. The new Eastern Division consisted of the Boston Redskins, Brooklyn Dodgers, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Pittsburgh Pirates. They weren't the Steelers yet. The Western Division consisted of the Chicago Bears, Chicago Cardinals, Cincinnati Reds, Green Bay Packers, and the Portsmouth Spartans. And that's right, they weren't the Detroit Lions yet. July 28, 1972. At the Chicago College All-Star Game, played at Soldier Field, the Dallas Cowboys, the defending Super Bowl champs, knocked down the college upstarts 20-7 before a crowd of 54,162. The Most Valuable Player Award, always given to the college player team, happened to be Pat Sullivan, the quarterback from Auburn University. On July 28, 1995, Art Modell sends representatives to secretly talk with those in Baltimore about moving his then Cleveland Browns franchise to the Maryland City. And you know how that turned out. It got real messy later in that season, and Cleveland was not happy, the fans of Cleveland, and I can't blame them, but they were rewarded with a new expansion franchise that retained the Browns rights and name and all of their records. And of course, Modell's team turned into the Baltimore Ravens. Now let's take a little break to talk about one of our sponsors and hear a great special Row One brand. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus, get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. I still can't get over that Row One brand items. You got to go and check out their catalog. I mean, there's just some really awesome stuff. Those ticket stubs, game programs, and you know, some of those team emblems, and just some exciting things there. I think you really want to check it out. Some really great artwork there that you can hang up on your wall or wherever you want to. Just really is a great decorative piece for that sports fan in your life, or maybe just for yourself. Check it out, Row One Brand, and go to the sportshistorynetwork.com /ROW number one and use that SHN15 in their Pictorum Gallery of Row One Brand. Now let's go to our Hall of Fame birthdays. July 28, 1893. John O'Hearn. He was an end from Cornell University and was inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame. He went on to play in the NFL in 1920 with the Cleveland Tigers, and he spent the 1921 season with the Buffalo All-Americans. John's brother, Ed, played for Buffalo that season of 1921 as well. July 28, 1943, Larry Elkins. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1994 as a wide receiver out of Baylor University. Larry held many of the top receiving records at Baylor. And in 1963, he had 70 receptions. And in 1962, he returned a punt 92 yards for a score. In 1965, Mr. Elkins was the first round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers, as well as the second overall draft pick of the American Football League's Houston Oilers. And just after the Jets pick Joe Namath, he ended up accepting the offer from the Oilers and spent four seasons there. Injuries plagued his pro career as he joins the NFL Steelers in 1969, earned the starting job, and then broke his collarbone in a preseason game. Ugh. Wow, that's just too bad. He just had a bad luck run of luck there in his pro career. July 28, 1957, Charles Alexander was a halfback out of LSU. And in 2012, the College Football Hall of Fame inducted him into their ranks. And what a great player Charles Alexander was for the Louisiana State University. Now, we have some other birthdays that of players that are not yet in a Hall of Fame of college or the professional ranks, and we'll just want to mention them. July 28, 1978, Hillcrest Heights, Maryland, linebacker Julian Peterson from Michigan State from 1998 through 1999 was born, and Julian was selected as the 16th overall player taken by the San Francisco 49ers in the 2000 NFL Draft. He also played for the Seahawks and Lions during his NFL career, per a Yahoo.com article. Julian played in 5 Pro Bowls and earned All-Pro honors 3 times in his tenure in the league, and for his career, Peterson had 802 combined tackles, with 595 of them being of the solo variety, and 51.5 sacks, 8 interceptions, 53 passes defended, and 1 defensive touchdown. July 28, 1988, Millington, Tennessee. Defensive end Greg Hardy, who played at Mississippi from 2000 through the 2009 season, was born. According to an article on Yahoo.com, Hardy was selected as the 175th overall pick by the Carolina Panthers in the 2010 NFL Draft. He also played for the Dallas Cowboys later in his career. And Greg's career stats include 241 total tackles, with 165 of them being solo, 40 sacks, 1 pick, and 8 forced fumbles. Hardy was a Pro Bowl selection and a second team All-Pro in 2013, and he set a Panthers franchise record for most sacks in a season in 2013, with 15 takedowns of the quarterback behind the line. Now, if you're interested in the uniforms worn by the pro players throughout all the years of the NFL, we invite you to please visit our friends at the Gridiron Uniform Database at the link that we have provided on the July 28th Football History Headlines on PigskinDispatch.com. For more stats on football people born on July 28th, go to profootballreference.com, click on the July 28th, and you'll see all the birthdays of the pro players that played professional football. And if you see something happen on this date that we missed, just like we told you earlier, please let us know via email at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We will answer each and every email sent to us. I will answer it personally, I'll tell you that. And we hope that you'll be able to join us tomorrow, and we thank you so very much for joining us today. We couldn't do this without your support. And those of you that have donated to us and bought us a cup of coffee off the front page sign-in, we really thank you for that. Your donations are going to help promote this podcast and make it better each and every day, and along with the feedback that you'll supply us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. So we thank you for all that. Look at us up at sportshistorynetwork.com, and you'll see us and 20 of our friends over there that have a great podcast and blog posts on sports history of all different varieties, and I think you'll really find that fascinating and enjoyable, very family friendly. Even the kids can listen to and look at the blog posts there. No worries there by any parental units there. And make sure you check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, your portal to positive football history, where we have all of our podcasts and all of our blog posts, and just some fascinating things happen each and every day, including our bonus series, Football by Numbers, going through every single jersey number in NFL history and picking out the best players of each jersey number, giving you a top 10 list. Many times we have guests on there that are historians and authors and all kinds of experts, and just some great personalities to talk to on there. And our newest series is on the pre-World War II professional football teams. Again, we have some excellent expert guests and historians that are telling us about these teams that many of us may have forgotten about, but what a great history and part they played in NFL history to make the league to what it is that we enjoy today. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.